I've never heard a person walk out of a stadium and say, wow, I wish that game would have included more waiting.
He is an endless source of baseball and hockey knowledge.
Jose Berrios, el lanzador de Puerto Rico en el Clásico Mundial de Béisbol.
Sean Morosi, every week with Wyman and Bob.
You're being serious with me right now?
Love that open. Love it. We got the band back together. How about this, Ryan? We were talking about it earlier in the show, just reflecting back to the playoff game out there at T-Mobile Park. We were over at Hatback Bar and Grill across the street out there in the sunshine and the smoke. And we had this guy on set with us talking baseball, and it was a beautiful day, and it was a lot of fun. The one, the only, John Morosi with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. How are you, John?
Bob and Ryan, I am outstanding, my friends. Always enjoy our conversations. And yes, that October day is still dear in my heart. And goodness, let's hope that we get another chance to have a Seattle postseason baseball conversation this year.
JP, where does that rank in for last year's – no, for the all the playoff games that you've covered, that moment sitting with Bob Stelton and me, where does that rank in your – most the parts of your career when you're talking about covering playoff baseball? It's got to be top three.
It ranks,
right?
As yeah, it ranks as one of the top 3 days, and then that part, the game, without question, just the historic nature of that. But I would say, hey, listen, I couldn't have had that game without sitting with you guys, and so as far as I'm concerned, that conversation is a very essential part of that day and the memory for me. And so the memory of being with Bob and Ryan, I say top 3 postseason memory, period, in my baseball career.
Nice. That means we have to do it again, and the Mariners are going to have to ensure that we have the opportunity to do that again. What do we, we have a hard time out here right now playing an A's team. Not hard playing them, but how do you take these wins? Because the A's are historically bad right now, John. It's almost, you almost feel bad for them watching them, and we talked before the series going, yeah, it's a 4-game series. It's not easy to take 4 from any team, no matter how bad they are. You can't expect it. You just want to win the series, which they've done. They took the first 3. But now I'm going, there's no excuse for losing the 4th game. You can't lose tonight with Logan Gilbert on the hill. How do you approach it?
You have to be greedy. You have to be greedy and go for it. Now, you might manage your pitching a little bit differently depending on the margin and where you're at with that and how you deploy your bullpen, but you've got to chase these wins. And one of the great sayings in baseball that I've picked up over the years, and talking to Jim Leland, I remember when I was covering the Tigers every day, he said the wins are golden, and when you've got a chance, when you're playing well, you've got to be greedy and you've got to bank those wins. Because part of this, and Ryan can speak to this as well, you realize that in the American League West, even with the schedule being different this year, you still have to realize that the Rangers are going to get their games against the A's, and the Angels will get their games against the A's, and so will the Astros. So this is a really, really competitive division. I was actually making the comment earlier today that you look at a lot about how that division has 5 teams above 500. This division has 4. I don't think we're going to get to 5. I'm pretty comfortable saying that mathematically. The A's are never going to get above 500. But the other 4 teams are pretty good. And a lot of things have happened in the division this year that have just made the road to October a little more challenging for the Mariners, because Texas is legitimately better, much better pitching staff. Garcia has been unbelievable. Jonah Heim's a really good player. Nathaniel Lowe's a really underrated, solid player. And then I think you look at the Angels and the way they're playing at the moment, they're trending toward having Ohtani for a full season and not trading him. And so the competition is really good. And part of that competition means you've got to make sure that you beat the A's to the same tune that everybody else is.
JP, educate us a little bit on these Texas Rangers, right? Now, they scare me. They did even back in spring training. And the whole, the point everyone was trying to make was, oh, well, they won't be able to stay healthy. It's kind of that broad sort of vision of them, with obviously Jacob deGrom, Evaldi, some of the pitching they brought in. But is this something that is sustainable? Is this a team that we're going to be talking about that are going to be right where they're at when you come late August into September?
I think so. And part of the reason, Ryan, is they've already had their share of adversity. They've had Corey Seager missing a fair amount of time, and they've been able to play really well despite that, because Ezequiel Duran is a very good baseball player. That notice has now been served to the whole major leagues that he's a pretty good ball player. And I think in the rotation as well, you've been without DeGrom for a while, and here steps in Dane Dunning, who's been I think, one of the more consistent and valuable pitchers in the American League this season. So I think a really key guy has been Nate Eovaldi for them. They could afford to have one of their big starters hurt, and that has been DeGrom. They can't afford to have two or three. And I think the key for them is that they've been pretty healthy with the exception of DeGrom. Their bullpen's been really good. Will Smith has been surprisingly consistent there in the ninth inning when you consider what his track record has been. So I think overall I really like the way that that Rangers team is playing.
As far as the Mariners, and we were just sort of marveling at their rotation, how do you think they stack up? We know where they are in terms of WAR and their bullpen. I mean, 1 through 5, very good. The youth with Bryce Miller's been ridiculous. George Kirby, Logan Gilbert. Just from an outsider perspective, John, how does this rotation and bullpen stack up against the rest of Major League Baseball?
I think one of the very best. And George Kirby has been sensational since the very beginning of the season. And then you mentioned Bryce Miller. I had to look today as we were getting ready for this conversation. I said, I wonder where Bryce Miller ranks in wins above replacement on the Mariners team right now after a handful of starts. He's fourth. He basically needed, five games to vault himself into being the fourth best player on the team based on accumulated performance. He's been just tremendous. And I loved he did an interview earlier on this season with David Laurelia of Fangraphs.com about his education as a young pitcher. And of course, he was drafted after the pandemic began, so he was able to have more or less a normal progression in the minor leagues. And part of it for him was just learning to throw his fastball up. It's amazing when you get a player with that amount of talent, and then you have that little adjustment of, hey, let's try throwing that fastball above the belt and see how it goes. And Bryce, to his credit, with his aptitude, has been, I think, one of the smartest pitchers in the league this year. And a large part of that is he's got the stuff to match with it. He knows where to put that electrifying fastball, and the opposing hitters just can't square it up. And that's where, for as up and down as some of the offensive issues have been, Julio has been better since they moved him out of the leadoff spot. I think Caballero's been great. He stabilized second base very nicely. They'll get Dylan Moore back. The thing you know is when your rotation is this good, that you're going to have a chance to make up ground, that you're going to be able to reel off some weeks where you go 5-2 or even 6-1. And obviously the competition is part of the reason that's happening right now. But the big picture is, to your point, this rotation is, in my opinion, as good as there is in the sport, and it's gotten all the better now that Bryce Miller is part of it.
Hey, speaking of the offense, and you know, it's one thing to with a team like this, and you're hovering around 500. You look at the bright spot and say, okay, the foundation's always going to be pitching, and that's, you know, something that can carry your team through. But the offense, a lot of strikeouts. What do you feel like needs to change offensively for them to catch? You're talking about the division in the AL West, but to catch the Texas Rangers, to catch the Houston Astros, offensively, obviously. Besides the strikeouts, what else, or is there an individual in this lineup that things need to start changing?
The one player that I come back to a lot, and I know it's not the one that we necessarily talk about all the time, but it's Teoscar Hernandez, because he is someone that I've seen him play really well in Toronto. I've seen him be an all-star, and he's the kind of player that when he gets hot, and he hasn't gotten hot yet, but when he gets hot, he can carry a team for 2 weeks. And when all of a sudden, if you expect Julio to keep getting more comfortable, and I think we're already seeing it, his OPS since they moved him out of the leadoff spot is basically in the mid-700s, which isn't his normal, but it's closer to it. He's starting to come back. For him, he's just got to get on time with the fastball. With Teo, and I heard the Jerry DePoto show this week about it, Jerry's thoughts on it, the bad luck that he's hit into, I think that's a real thing. And I think you compound bad luck with wanting to really impress a new team, and that can snowball on you. I believe that Teoscar Hernandez is a very consistent hitter in this league for a long time, and that his middle third of the year is going to be dramatically better than what it was at the start. And when he gets going, the reason why I point to him is that he's going to pick up a lot of those RBI in the middle part of the lineup where rallies might be stopping now when he comes up. If he keeps them going, you know, he and Suarez are both those kinds of guys that they can chip in a couple weeks, really, of hot hitting and change the lineup. And those are two guys that I look to. And we know Julio is going to get there. Kelnick has been a superstar this year. He should be an all-star. JP's done a tremendous job of being a tone setter for this team. And I want to have like a bit of special recognition for JP here, because remember this. Julio getting right and having the pressure off of him only works when you got someone like JP who you trust to bat leadoff. If they didn't have JP, then the lineup would not work without Julio batting leadoff. But it does because of how much you trust JP, and certainly having Caballero batting ahead of him and with someone that, of Caballero's skill set, that's there batting ahead of JP once JP comes back around. It's a really nice combination. And I think that we're starting to see, through all the struggles, the puzzle pieces put together of what I expect to be a really dynamic lineup in the middle third of the season.
Hey, John, what was your familiarity with Caballero before this? I mean, out here, he was an unknown. A lot of people are like, where did this guy come from? He's 26 years old. He's older than, you know, most rookies. And then we learned about all the injuries he went through and all that. And here he is. You know, I know it's a brief amount of time, but man, he's just a different kind of player. And he's really, I think, made people kind of not forget about Colton Wong, but certainly feel better about it because you've got somebody occupying that spot, giving you everything you hoped you'd get out of Wong, except it's coming from Caballero. Is this a guy that was on your radar before and you feel like he can sustain what he's doing, or is he as much of a surprise to you as he is to everybody else?
He was not on my radar when I was looking at the Mariners 40-man roster as spring training began in Peoria, thinking about who we'd be talking about on Memorial Day weekend. But that's a credit to him. And before I go further, it's a credit to their pro scouting staff, because the Mariners got him in a deal from Mike Leake back in 2019. And that is why, when you talk about the way that teams are put together, it's a progression of a lot of time. And a lot of good recommendations. And obviously that was Jerry DePoto's front office then and Justin Hollander. You need to have people that you trust who are scouting the Class A affiliates of certain teams to recommend, hey, this guy is someone that can play. He's a nice complementary player. And that's who Caballero is. He is a really good complementary player on a division-winning team. And there have been a lot of complementary players who might have taken a long time to get to the big leagues. I think about someone like a Ryan Terrio, who won a couple World Series rings with the Giants and the Cardinals. This is the kind of player that Caballero is. I'm sure, Ryan, you probably faced Terrio at different times. It's that kind of a guy who gives you a good at-bat, who can work a count, who can give you a situational, smart at-bat in a huge spot. And that's where we see often playoffs are won by at-bats, by guys who are batting 7th, 8th, 9th in the lineup, the Daniel Descalzos of the Cardinals teams as well. That kind of a player, Ryan, you know, you would almost rather face the slugger than that guy when there's a guy on third and it's the 8th or 9th inning. And I think that's the kind of player that's going to be a huge part of a Mariner team that still believes that the three of us are going to be sitting outside of T-Mobile sometime in October.
I mean, you're right. It's the guy who can do the little things, as Caballero has mentioned as well, as opposed to the guy who's going to have that swing and miss to who you're pitching against. So I want to ask you this, JP. We're 40-something games into this season, and the big talk in the offseason, obviously, was going out and who are they going to acquire. Teoscar Hernandez was that big trade piece. But the talk was, okay, the DH, all right? Like, can you go out and get yourself a DH threat, whether it was available or not? I'm trying to think of some of the names of free agents that were available, if it was even available or not. Looking back, do you think that's something, as we're approaching June and you kind of know the identity of this team and how the lineup structures, do you think that is something that has bit the Mariners? They should have gone, in retrospect, going out and got that bat to fill that DH role.
That's a fair point. I think there have been some surprises along the way of how things look. And I think, remember, with this team, part of it was they didn't want to layer in too many corner outfield-type bats that would take at-bats away from Kelnick, potentially, and Teoscar was coming in, obviously, as a corner guy. And they certainly were hoping for Dylan Moore to be a healthy and regular guy, and Haggerty, too. So I think that it was, in retrospect, yeah, they probably should have added one more bat, but it was defensible at the time, and it's fixable now. Defensible then, fixable now. If you are Jerry DePoto and Justin Hollander, and you're picking up the phone call in July, and you're trying to talk to a GM of a team that's out of it, the one guy you can almost always get is a bat without position. And that's the kind of thing that I think that they'll be able to do. Is it a Nelson Cruz type? Is it a Matt Carpenter type? Who knows what ends up happening with the Padres? But that's the kind of player that you can most often get at the deadline. I'll be curious to see, again, even teams that are already out of it, although there aren't that many, honestly, that are truly out of it already. You've got Oakland is already out of it, I would say. KC, do the White Sox totally take their team apart? If they do, that might be a place to go and check in on a player like that. But I think much like Caballero, sometimes a really good player that fits that description is sitting at somebody's AAA roster, and you didn't fully realize it. And I think that's the kind of a move that you trust your pro scouts and you find the right fit culturally. Someone who is comfortable being in that extra role, like a Mike Ford, originally a Mariner, who's sort of been well-traveled this year. That's the kind of a player that I could see potentially the Mariners taking a look at as things move forward.
Hey, we were talking about the A's earlier just in terms of their move to Las Vegas, and they're working through all of that, and they're going to have a $1.5 billion stadium. And we were sort of debating, all right, is it going to be a whole new approach for that team? And because right now they're one of the teams that spend no money on their roster, and they take in all the money from the big teams, all of the revenue sharing and all of that, and they're just putting it in their pocket. That's got to change if this deal is to be consummated, right? I mean, you've got to be able to ensure that city that we're going to put a competitive product. We're actually going to invest in our product on the field. They couldn't just say, all right, we got this big new stadium. We're in a new area, but we're still going to spend $43 million on our roster.
That's a very good point. And I think that when you consider the way that the revenue sharing works in this sport and the way that the structure of the CBA is written, we have seen at different times some teams deliberately excluded from revenue sharing based on different circumstances, market size, et cetera. And we know that Vegas is a large market from that standpoint. So I would expect that when that formula comes up and you start talking about who is actually going to be able to receive revenue sharing, I would expect that team, either by rule or by formula, will likely be excluded from getting those revenue sharing receipts, and they'll have to put a better club on the field. And I think that's the whole idea. It's going to take some time. That new ballpark, based on different reports, they might still have to play in Oakland one more year after this year, and then 2 years in a AAA stadium, and then the new stadium opens. So we're still a ways away from this happening. The wheels of political might do not grind that quickly to make it happen instantaneously. But I do think that in time the A's will operate differently. And let's be honest here, and as we talk about what spending looks like and the wisdom of that spending, the best two teams in the American League this season are the Rays and the Orioles, and neither one of those teams is necessarily a big spender. The Rays are the antithesis of that, and the Orioles have, at least in recent years, been at best a mid-tier spender. So sometimes the ability to say no is really important, and you look at the amount of money the Twins spent on Correa. He might be on the IL here coming up.
Yep.
So the big spending is not always the wisest spending.
Yeah, and the Mets are having their own issues with their giant payroll that they put into place this year. So,
very good point.
Yeah, it doesn't ensure anything, but boy, you still feel like it gives you a good chance rather than pinching pennies. But we'll see what happens. John, as always, fantastic stuff. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we look forward to talking next week.
Very good. I had my co-hosts, Gabby and Elena, my two oldest daughters, with me here today. So hopefully they didn't cause too much commotion in the background as I was trying to get them. They said, Gabby, my 10-year-old, this is going to stun every parent out there. She said, Dad, that was boring. Gabby, these are two of my best friends in broadcasting. And they think I'm okay.
We think so your dad
they're
is
gonna
awesome.
Boost my ego.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. As always, guys, I appreciate the conversation.
You let them know we think their dad is awesome.
All right, will do, guys. Thanks for the boost. I appreciate it. Thank you.
There you go. There's John Morosi. He's with us every single week. Always a great conversation with him. And just, he knows. I was ready for him to tell me about Caballero. And, you know, I was watching him when he was 24, or he's 23, or he's 22.
Yeah, exactly.
Just give me a whole rundown on who he was.
Bob, I was shocked. I was expecting a WBC reference as well for Caballero, Panama. I was a little shocked there.
Well, maybe he was just not planning on him being part of the roster this year. I'm sure he knew about him, but just didn't expect he was going to be part of what was going on.
For sure. I mean, what a pro. He's got the two kids behind him and just the information, the intel, which I'm probably going to steal for the when I jump on TV after this in a second.
Heck yeah.
As if I came up with it. He's the best, man. No one's more of a pro than that guy.
Yeah, love John Morosi. He's so good. So good. And if you missed any of that conversation, you happen to tune in at the end of it, what have you, it will be available on the podcast page at seattlesports.com. Just click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture and click on that, and it'll be right there waiting for you. Meanwhile, Mariners taking on the A's tonight, and the T-Mobile Park roof will most certainly be open. It's a beautiful day out there. The roof will be open. Perfect night for baseball. That's the Mariners Roof Report, covered by Acton's Quality Roofing. So are you all, you're all suited up right now? You're ready to go? You're ready? You got the TV makeup on? You're
yeah,
good?
I do. Yep. Yeah. I, well, first of all, I don't need TV makeup. Let's go. Come on, I've got
let's go.
Excellent skin. My skin routine is off the charts.
Your skin regime is, yeah, okay.
That's right. That's right. But I think it's supposed to be warm this weekend. I'm doing color in the booth, and I get to wear a polo shirt, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, so that's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm doing color. I'm excited. Love doing it. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Very nice. Now, do you like going out there in the pen?
I do. I love it. It's great. You okay. know, have some characters when they're in couple, had a few too many brown Gatorades by you know, before the game's even started. Yeah, so there's a couple of characters. I like it. It's funny.
Do you guys have good security stuff. Around you so that they don't come and mess up Brad Adams' hair?
We did have one beer thrown on us early in the season, and the guy has seriously been banned for life.
Oh,
so
wow.
Don't mess around out in the pen. That's right. Wow. Do not mess around.
One other note. You got to tell Brad to stop saying punchies. Tell him to cut it out.
Has he dropped a punchy this year?
Yes.
I hope not.
Yes, he has. Oh. Most certainly. But there
I
you
like
go.
That Wyman's on vacation.
We'll be watching. You got the game coming up. Our thanks to Paul Moyer and John Morosi. Again, it's all available for you on the podcast page. We are going to be out at Edgar's tomorrow live. So come on out, say hello. Mariners taking on the Pirates tomorrow. We will talk to you then with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.